This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Not politically correct, that music, but it's just so soulful in its background. No, I don't want anybody to get on the knees and cry, but it's just so good. Today I have Jim Brewer with me, and he's been here doing quite a few things with EmployeesToday.org. And if you are on the internet, you can go to his site and see some of the efforts that he put in to try and protect the employees of Hawaii and anywhere, actually, the benefits and educating them on various issues. And on Olelo, Channel 54 at 5 p.m. on Sundays, you can catch Jim. Again, that's Employees Today. And anyway, Jim, good morning. Thank you, and I'm glad you accepted the offer. I figured I want to talk about many of things, and people are asking me, what about the politicians? What about this? And I thought I would just give you a ring and ask you to come in and give some other insight. And if you want to call in, 524-1080, 524-1080, or you can pick this up at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And about 9:15 today. So, good morning, Jim.
Aloha, Carol, and everybody out there. It's a very nice day to talk politics.
Yeah, politics and an assortment of things. I'd like to talk about the media and how it has been usurped, or how conglomerates and big businesses have influenced. And then some of the basic human elements of of the media. I mean, that's, a lot of people say it's big business that's controlling it, but a lot of the times it's just basic human behavior that causes stories not to run, you know, relationships and friendships and business relationships. So.
That's right. Well, the two things that I would really like to talk about first is things that we can do something about before it's too late, because it's getting close to being too late. One of them is the Internet. Internet neutrality, or net neutrality, as they call it, is in, very much in jeopardy. I don't know whether you saw just within the last 3 days, I believe AT&T has is going to be gatekeeping on the Internet. And so if you go with them and whatnot. So this is a real thing. It, you know, the Internet was developed, and it still is that way to a large extent. It was developed so that anybody could go on the Internet. You can make a, you can do an a search with Google or whatever, and you're equal with the most powerful corporation. In other words, you get your answers just as fast as they do, etc. And but this has been the problem, because starting with Ronald Reagan, we had trickle-down economics. And a lot of people called it, you know, people who talked the jargon of economics called it supply-side economics. But that was just one aspect of it. The you know, since Ronald Reagan, wages, real wages, have remained stagnant. But during that time, productivity gains have been, tremendous productivity gains have been made. And none of it was shared with employee families. It all went to the top. And it collected there at the top. They had all this capital. They didn't know what to do. So what they did is they went and invested in China. And so what we have in China is, you know, we got these people who'd like to start a new Cold War with China, you know, whipping up that China is doing us in. But the truth is, it's our own corporations, U.S. corporations, who went to China seeking cheap labor. They pay them 20% of what they pay here in wages. And then they sell, it seems cheap, relatively cheap, back here. But in the meantime, the folks that's going to buy it have, their industrial jobs have left. Their good-paying jobs have left. And so we're selling hamburgers to each other. And so on these hamburger wages, we get to go to Walmart. And Walmart was one of the biggest exploiters of this whole thing. They become the most richest corporation in the world. And so the thing is that we are the victim of all this, and that's why the point of my show is to educate people. I consider myself a political educator, because I believe in democracy, we the people democracy, and that means that you have to find the facts. You have to be able to face the truth that maybe we are doing wrong in this country by using up 25 to 40% of the world's resources while we only 6% of the world's population. And
now,
so,
let me ask you this, and I just want to have a generic conversation, because the airways are empty of this type of conversation. I want to see, I consider myself a layman, because I don't want to be elevated to any high media involvement. It's just simple, bringing the facts and what have you. What is this, how can we, or what can you speak to this prevailing wind that seems to be the climate, that little people like myself, I can listen to a radio show, and that person can tell me something that's new and revealing, and I have a tendency, I and others, dismiss that, the radio or the today, the employees today, what the content of your show, and we say, well, you should try to get this on the big news, get the big media, the what is bringing that about? Are they training us to that we can't do for ourselves? Are they corporatizing us? How does that happen?
Well, this actually started a long time ago. I'm 70 years old now, and I try to take three courses at the university every year because I can sit in on classes free. Mm-hmm. And so I just sat down on three classes this semester and covered U.S. politics. American political theory was one of the subjects that I covered. And what is interesting is a lot of people don't know that we've been on two tracks from the start of the USA. Mm-hmm. One track is the democracy track, we the people democracy. Mm-hmm. But you know where it says we the people and self-evident that we're all created equal and all that? That's not in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that this professor made clear. The U.S. Constitution is not a democratic document. Mm-hmm. It was set up basically for a kind of a democracy that suited white, male, slave-owning landowners, mm-hmm. and shipping magnates and whatnot, but we got the preamble to the Constitution. We got the Declaration of Independence. We got Abe Lincoln saying, "A government of, by, and for the people shall not perish." Mm-hmm. But see, that's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution of, by, and for the people. You know. And so we've had steps going along the way, and we've had two tracks. One track, they're running head on. They're parallel. They don't bump. They don't exactly bump heads.
They won't meet.
Well, one is going towards taking our democracy and keeping it as a corporatocracy, and the other track is democracy. And everybody in the world is on that track. Democracy has captured the minds of the people of the world. We don't have to go to Iraq and try to cram it down their throats. They want it. Mm-hmm. They want it desperately, and they need to build their own democracy, just like we are trying to build our own democracy. Mm-hmm. But corporatocracy led us into this Iraq War. I say Iraq War was big oil's big gift. Mm-hmm. The cheapest oil in the world to extract is in Iraq. And now all our oil companies get first dibs on it and whatnot. And up to a million Iraqis died because this was an illegal war. Mm-hmm. It was a war of choice. It was not a war of imminent self-defense. Mm-hmm. And this was a war crime. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and these folks will end up at a new kind of Nuremberg trial.
You think that'll happen?
I think that it might, because we're seeing what corporatocracy thinks about us. We saw the miners up in West Virginia. We see what the coal industry thinks about workers. We see what BP thinks about. And the thing is, people are trying to blame this on BP. But the thing is, you can go and look at Chevron. Chevron has this huge multi-billion-dollar suit coming from Ecuador for what they've done to the Amazon rainforest there. Mm-hmm. Just totally irresponsible pollution. In Nigeria, mm-hmm. in the Niger Delta, what I believe Shell has done, and other U.S. And other big oil have done, is they have totally ruined an area. An ethnic people there called the Ogoni people have been ruthlessly put down by oil-supported dictators. Mm-hmm. And what happens there, they burn that natural gas in the air every day, and that sulfur goes into the air, and it turns into sulfuric acid. They have to change their roofs every 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. And the fish, they can't fish. That's what they were fishing people. So the thing is, BP is a bad guy, but the other guys are not that good either.
Now, speaking of BP, I think that a couple things that exist here, and it gives us an opportunity asking, is anybody going to get prosecuted? Or as we've said, they get to do what they want. While BP can't be blamed for it all, it shows us an example now because we have the Internet. But follow this. BP, I'm in Newsweek. There's an article that is May 7th, 2010, and it reveals some interesting things in Newsweek, where people, for example, Leon Panetta and Mr. Mitchell, who is the envoy to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Obama states that he's going to keep the foot, his boot on their throat,
mm-hmm.
is that possible? I mean, well, I think he's been moving a little slow, and I'm not going to blame him for the slow pace. I believe that what is revealing about this BP and some of these articles and mm-hmm. that are coming, fleshing out some of this,
yeah.
is that he not only has to keep his boot on their throat, he also has to keep an eye on the Panettas
mm-hmm.
and the Mitchells
right.
and others who've learned and brought in BP and helped them mm-hmm. navigate the halls of Congress and
right.
what have you. So what do you say about that with...
Well,
with this thing going, we'll talk about BP.
Well, this just points to the corruption. I mean, this, all of a sudden, this is the 24/7 news.
Mm-hmm.
Is BP. And a whole lot of other stuff that, you know, murders and this and that, things around that have nothing to do with real news. I mean, you know, it's bad that we have these murders and whatnot around the country, but we have really serious problems with our ecology. But then let's go back and look just prior to BP. It was the economy.
Mm-hmm.
We crashed the economy in September of 2008. And it crashed basically because of bubbles bursting and debt building up, credit card debt, national debt. Everybody was in debt. That's what our Wall Street was selling debt. And so, but the thing is, we see the same thing with BP, though, that we saw with them. BP is too big to jail because they're too big to regulate. That's what you talk about. It felt to me like you were leading to, is that how are we going to prosecute these folks when they have taken so many FBI agents off and put them in not only BP, but all those folks on Wall Street that need to be prosecuted. They took 500 FBI agents, put them in Homeland Security. They didn't replace them,
mm-hmm.
Fighting white-collar crime. And they need another 1,000. They need 1,500 because if you can't regulate these folks, if you can't enforce the laws, the regulations, then what happens is that they're too big to jail.
Mm-hmm.
We can't put them in jail because we can't. They're lawyers. They have so much money accumulated. They can buy a team of lawyers that can beat the government's socks
mm-hmm.
every time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's wrong. We live in a corporatocracy. Corporate mm-hmm. America rules not only the United States of America, but the entire world through globalization.
Now, you know, 2005,
mm-hmm.
there was an explosion in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
15 workers
Texas
died.
City, yeah.
BP.
Mm-hmm.
They attempted to prosecute
mm-hmm.
BP for this. Somehow, BP was able to slip the noose
mm-hmm.
and get out of that. How do we suppose they did this? By having, when you have a Leon Panetta, a George Mitchell, a Christine Todd Whitman, and Tom Daschle,
mm-hmm.
is also
yeah.
being an advisor to
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's don't forget Cheney.
Well,
and
yeah,
Halliburton.
Right. We'll get to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, I don't want to jump across the bridge
and
forget the steps along
sure.
the way.
Okay.
What I'm speaking to is that with this type of relationship in government,
mm-hmm.
and these are high-powered people.
Right.
Now he's Panetta now is the official the CIA director.
Right.
But BP, in this article, they point out in Newsweek that BP is one of the top providers of fuel for the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And so are we really going to put our boot on their throat and choke them to death and hold them accountable? Because if we do, the, quote, domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
So is what Obama's telling us is what we want to hear, but he really hadn't gotten a handle on it, and he probably never will because his own advisors and appointees have a relationship that's
right.
questionable. And you mentioned Halliburton and Cheney and what have you. Did Panetta and these others that served on these boards
right.
and Daschle, did they tell them how to get to the back door with Cheney? I mean, is this why Obama didn't wish to pursue Cheney? on the energy policy and those meetings that he had, privacy and disclosure of the emails.
Right. I mean, what do I say? I mean, this is a rhetorical question, right?
But I want to ask, ask it now and ask it again and ask.
These guys, I tell you, on my show, I've said I will not be satisfied personally with my life, my political activity on TV and any other way. I will not be happy until George Bush and Cheney are looking at us through bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that is where they belong.
Well,
they have brought our country to its lowest ebb. Now, like I say, there's two tracks in America. It always has been. We the people, democracy. We all like to entertain the idea that we do live in a democracy and that we do have effect. Mm-hmm. And we do. Because every time we really rise up, those guys up there stand up at attention and say, yes, sir. It takes a while to really, they really try our patience, and so, so that's what we have to do is just revive our democracy, take it back, and we have to do it. You know, one of the things in the big revolution they had in France, back in the time of Napoleon, back in those days. Well, the thing was that the people rose up, but the people didn't know what to do once they won. They didn't have the skills and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why we have a lot of skills in the working class today, but we don't have that many people who have experience in running an economy and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I feel like that shows like this, people have to know that these guys, these corporate people on Wall Street, all they are is mafia legalized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are criminals. And we have to... Now, the thing is that we have to have enterprise. We have to have a market and whatnot. But again, a market has to be regulated. You know, this is one of the things that Franklin Roosevelt, FDR, brought out. He said, the laws of economics are not made by nature. They are made by human beings. And this is a guy who was intimately involved in U.S. policy for years before he got polio and became a very humane, humanistic person.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that the economy that we had was being guided by U.S. policies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, and John F. Kennedy said, the problems that we have are man-made. And the solutions will have to be man-made.
Well,
and so this is us. We have to stand up, but we have to do it. We can't do it half-cocked. These teabaggers are all a bunch of scatterbrains who haven't got it all together. They're just expressing the frustration of people, but they have no plan. They have no analysis.
Well, what happens then? And I'll make the focal point here would be BP, because it affords us some great opportunity to talk about current and past behavior, and we can see the clock ticking. And for example, BP knew what volume of oil comes out of the ground, because when you put a pipe in, you look at diameter and you look at the physics and you look at the carrying capacity of that.
Right.
You know that.
Exactly.
So follow this. April 20th, the explosion occurred on the Horizon rig.
Right.
And then 52 miles out, it burns for 48 hours, practically. People die. 11 people die. April 22nd, they said 1,000 barrels a day was of fuel was being leaked, right, from this pipe.
Mm-hmm.
April 29th, they upgraded to 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then May 1, they show satellite pictures of it, and then, oops, it's 25,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now, behind closed doors with Congress, they say possibly 60,000 barrels a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that holding the foot, the boot to the throat? I mean, you're giving false information and you know this thing is unfolding, you think Obama should have done something different than what he's done? I'm sure everybody has an opinion, but is there anything he could have done different or should do different?
See, this is, again, the problem that we often run into, and that is that because the greedy corporate people are all greedy corporate people, and they basically have they have the knowledge. In other words, they know our economy inside and out, how the Federal Reserve works. Everyday people don't, and it's not that hard. But the thing is, there's a lot of people out there spreading misinformation and whatnot. But the thing is that it made sense to rely on the people who did it. They should know the most about it. And they also had, they had clearance from the mineral mining group and all that. But he should have known that those guys, they were have hanky-panky, all kinds of stuff going on. And I think the thing that made most sense to me was, instead of BP, if they had pulled in people like Woods Hole, that's what this guy, Cameron, the guy who made Avatar and Titanic, he and a group got together and brainstormed because of the movie Titanic. He knows a lot of people who do deep submersible work.
Mm-hmm.
And they got together, and they said, and they were talking about what they should have done, is that Obama should have mobilized all the oil companies,
mm-hmm.
because they all have had experience. As a matter of fact, this is not the first time this happened.
Yeah, but that's like saying, okay, Al Capone is inside the bank, so you call John Dillinger and Ma Barker and her group to have them to come in and help him count the money, so the FBI would know exactly how much money is being taken.
The thing is that what this does is it shows how corporatocracy has so disarmed our government of, by, and for the people.
Right.
It has made it so that the regulators either are incompetent,
mm-hmm.
or they're impotent. They can't do anything because they're so understaffed and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a conflict of interest. They had this mineral mining agency. The thing is that they collected the royalties and they did the regulating, and there was hanky-panky going on.
Here's what I, in my own opinion, I think that immediately, mm-hmm. when we saw what was happening,
mm-hmm.
immediately we should have said, we can't trust, and the government should have been speaking,
mm-hmm. yes.
to the specifics. You didn't need to commandeer the entire thing, but
right.
for sake of continuity, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But we kept handing the opportunity and the microphone to BP,
mm-hmm.
to say, you're surrounded by the police, you're inside
mm-hmm.
the bank,
mm-hmm.
tell us how much money you got, you're taking from this
yeah.
bank. And quite naturally,
yeah.
Yeah. BP, and if you're in the prison,
yeah.
you've been to prison before, or you
mm-hmm.
know that, well, if I tell them it's only $100,000 in here, so, well, I'm only going to be charged for a minor felony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I told them I had a $6 million in here, I could go to jail for a long time. So a lot of this sounds nonsensical.
Well,
but what happened, this is why I had questions about it when, for example, they say, and I think the Coast Guard is complicit in this.
Yep.
And I offer this one point, and that is when they say that the boats were missing, the lifeboats were missing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that told me right there, that speaks to the hands-off, the laissez-faire
right.
Behavior and courtesy that had been extended by governments in all levels
right.
to BP. Because, first of all, if you have lifeboats, you would have an EPIRB. You should have an EPIRB.
Mm-hmm.
So if the lifeboat is deployed and some of the parties may be injured, like in this situation,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have to search 2,000 miles of ocean to find them.
Mm-hmm.
When that lifeboat is deployed, immediately an EPIRB going, something that simple,
mm-hmm.
say that the Coast Guard and everyone were, they were supposed to have been timely,
mm-hmm.
oversight,
mm-hmm.
regulatory,
mm-hmm.
and all of that, just in the life,
mm-hmm.
in the rescue efforts. But they spent days searching. But if that lifeboat had been required to have an EPIRB,
mm-hmm.
man, bam, because the time was critical, and some of those people may have been burned, if that was the case.
Right. Well, 11, see, that's gross negligence of it's got to be on the scale at least of manslaughter, if, mm-hmm. you know, and the highest degree of manslaughter, if not murder. I don't know all the legal ramifications of this, but the thing is that they were not conducting drills. Mm-hmm. In other words, I was a submariner. I was a nuclear submariner, and I'll tell you, we drilled all the time because one little fire on a submarine can be the end of everything. And these guys should have been drilling constantly. And what happened was they didn't know what to do. They were looking at each other to see what to do, and they were waiting for people up to the top to say something. Mm-hmm. And what the people up the top said, don't worry about that, just hurry up. Mm-hmm. That was exactly, I believe, what they said. Don't worry about it. Just hurry up. Mm-hmm. And when they hurried up, that was horrific. I mean, here we had 11 innocent people killed because they wanted them to hurry up. Mm-hmm. And this was the same kind of thing that we saw in West Virginia with that Massey Cove.
Right.
Same thing. Just hurry up. And we forget the methane levels and whatnot.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
I chuckle, and everyone can have an opinion, and if you immerse me into the situation, I'm sure I'd be stressed too. But what I'm speaking to is the nonsense, and that clearly shows that it was
they were spinning this.
Off.
They were worried about getting sued too.
Right.
So anything they admitted then would be held against them in court.
But now,
and so they were worried about all of that instead of worrying about the people in Louisiana. And the thing is that you had the people in Louisiana. A lot of these folks worked on the shrimp boats during the shrimp season, and in off season they worked for the oil companies. So the thing is that, you know, they have had mixed emotions and whatnot, but they couldn't fight reality. It's going in. You see these pelicans submerged in this goop and just dying, mm-hmm. and standing there just dying.
Well, let me, speaking of pelicans and all, I believe, as I'm looking backwards and reading, trying to research some of the things in previous cases and how, and there have been several cases. When I say several, 2006, the EPA and Justice launched a criminal investigation into two massive spills mm-hmm. there in the Antarctic, where 200,000 gallons spill on the tundra. They were going to prosecute them.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecuting attorney was. But somehow, and the EPA agents thought they had a good case mm-hmm. and was going to seek criminal prosecution. But somehow, the U.S. attorney decided not to. Now, here's two things that's going on. There are agents that wish to pursue it. Now, they've retired, and now they're speaking out about these old cases.
Uh-huh.
But my message to the people that work for government, I am a little dissatisfied or disheartened or saddened to learn that a special agent or an investigator knew of these things and then wouldn't speak of them, but now they're retired, they're speaking. Yeah, you could lose your job, but here, look what it leads to.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with a midnight phone call or writing a letter mm-hmm. anonymous?
Well, you know, what do you expect when you have a criminal president and vice president? What do you expect? I mean, you know that this came right from them, that prosecution over, and of course they hired who was the attorney general at the time.
But let's be fair now, because see, then this is for me, this is where we are stuck in the mud mm-hmm. on this thing, and that it wasn't just George Bush. Remember now, Leon Panetta,
mm-hmm.
acting director of the CIA, mm-hmm. currently mm-hmm. George Mitchell,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Daschle, who was high and going to lead the fight on the medical,
on the healthcare. Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I'm a
but
little.
But the thing that with Daschle though is, as soon as he lost his majority position, he lost his seat in the Senate. What he did is he rushed and got jobs with all these health companies, and these health companies knew what was coming up. There was going to be a big fight to get Medicare for all, And they were going to make sure that they could maintain their private properties and profits and get 30 million new customers and stuff like that. And so Dashiell became tainted goods right there.
Right. Well, so and what we should do is when we speak about George Bush, because I'm always hesitant. I'd like to just tell people if the whole bag of nuts is corrupt or no good, then they all no
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
So
but
Dashiell,
it starts at the, you know, Truman said the buck stops here.
Yeah, but stops there, but then we don't want to hold back on spending the bucks fairly.
Oh, yeah,
so
exactly.
The buck may stop there, but we have an obligation to say, to point, and that's the reason I'm talking about this is to share with the listeners that there is so much corruption on both sides of the aisle.
This is the worst it's ever been.
And this is how we evolve. And so when you have U.S. attorneys declining prosecution, when agents are ready and raring to go and have found the case, and that, so this entire thing has given us an opportunity with BP. It could be any. You can change the initials to some other company. But, yes, George Bush and Dick Cheney exacerbated with their policies, but we didn't hear Dashiell, or we didn't hear Leon Panetta throw up their hands and says, my God, you know, folks, you know what, I'm concerned that some of the advice that I gave BP led to this. We haven't heard that. So they're as criminal, in my opinion, as George Bush and Dick Cheney, because they still could pursue, and this may explain why they don't pursue the emails, why they don't go and pursue a criminal case against. So which is more criminal, George Bush supposedly acting as a criminal, or the people now in power that told us that they're going to answer these questions for us during the campaign?
Right.
And now we have a spill that's currently ongoing.
Right.
And I'm saying
what this points out, Carol, is that we live not in a democracy at all. We live in a corporatocracy.
Right.
Corporate money is decisive in almost every election. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll just go back to 1980, the same year that Ronald Reagan came in. Oddly enough, there's these trends that come in history and whatnot, but Reagan comes into office and gives us and comes in giving us trickle down economics, but also what had happened already, the unions were becoming weak and they just got weaker and weaker after Reagan and whatnot. And so what happened in 1980? There was a conscious decision made that the Democratic Party, the National Democratic Party, was they decided they were going to take the Republicans head on, competing for corporate dollars. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to build the unions back up to their strength so that we had good wages in our society and whatnot, they decided to go with the corporate people. Mm-hmm. And let the unions wither more and more and take more and more away from working people. You know, we went from one person a lot of times being able to make one living for a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so then women entered in, and it made it look like all these corporations were women's libbers and all that. But the thing is that they were for women's liberation.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Hey, this is a way they could get people to work
cheaper.
I mean, in other words, it took two people now to make one living for a household, and so this is corporate control of everything. They control our media.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in 1967, that was when President Lyndon Johnson signed the bill that created Public Broadcasting System, PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of that was, it was like a new telecommunications act in a way. It had the same effect because back then they had a fairness doctrine that radio had broadcasting had to be fair and balanced. But the thing is that what this did was you were going to have right, left, libertarian, whatever. All viewpoints would be on public broadcasting system, just like it is on BBC in Britain.
Well, yeah.
But what happened was, is that they kept unfunding it, and so then it had to have private money coming in. Now it's private broadcasting system, and you see, who are the big corporate sponsors of the NewsHour, the PBS NewsHour? Exxon. Chevron, the mining association, which, you know, we saw what they think about miners and these explosions and whatnot, and they're trying to tell us that there's such a thing as clean coal. There's no such thing as clean coal, because what's dirty in this environment of global warming and all these climate change disasters that we're having is carbon dioxide, which is an odorless, colorless gas. Mm-hmm. But it traps warmth into, and so what's happening, the equator's expanding out. And again, this goes to things like right on our border, we're having a war on drugs in Mexico, and there's terrible things happening. But what a lot of people don't know is the reason we got an immigration problem is that NAFTA dumped cheap corn on Mexico, and so all of these folks, who small farmers who relied on their corn and beans and whatnot, they went out of business, and they had to go somewhere to make a living. And also, at the same time, are polluting the atmosphere with all this carbon dioxide and whatnot, mm-hmm. has caused the equator to expand out, and so you see the Mexico's desert in northern Mexico is expanding, and so they're losing their water, and not only see corn, cheap corn drove them out, and so we got this immigration problem.
Well, surely, I appreciate your opinion there. I'm not going to say that the Mexican population is migrating to America because of NAFTA. They were doing that already because they got crappy government management. They got corruption that is, we don't even know the levels.
No doubt about that.
Rather than...
But another thing, though... Oh, okay,
rather
sure.
than to... Give a wrong impression that put blame where it is. They just got crappy management. They got corruption, and they got, you can get kidnapped, you can get shot down in Mexico. So, some of them are coming here, but nothing to do with us passing NAFTA. Mm-hmm. Nothing of that, because if it was such a benefit, then they would be staying at home. Mm-hmm. This has a lot more to do with many of things, but mm-hmm. what I would say is that this gives us an opportunity to say why we here in America should be alarmed, because if we keep farming out jobs,
right,
then we're going to have a problem. You go to Burger King, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I drove there, and I have a tape of the, and I ordered a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, do I want cream in it? But I'm there for the purpose of documenting this.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up, and I get the wrong thing. They give me the wrong thing. And I go, well, the girl was there, asked me, a real nice voice and mm-hmm. perfect English. It sounded like a tape recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the person who handed it to me, he goes, well, where's the lady? She couldn't get a simple cup of coffee, right? She said, oh, they're in the Philippines. And when you pull up to the speaker...
outsourcing.
Well, no, I mean, this is, and when you pull up to the speaker and make, and they don't even know you, other than there's a brother that goes off at a phone in the Philippines, and they speak, and have nothing to do with that facility. So Burger King has, I'm told, by some of the workers, have gone and now farmed out the jobs.
Right.
So maybe in the next 10 years, we too will be migrating to Philippines and other China for jobs.
Yeah, well, and this is it. I mean, we're competing our livelihoods, our future. We're competing with American corporations, U.S. corporations, Burger King, right here. This is an example. They're chasing cheap labor, and they don't care what happens to us. They have become internationalized. They're globalized. Yeah. So corporatocracy, and that's what George Bush was exporting to. He wasn't taking democracy to Iraq. He was taking corporatocracy to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And big oil was going to take over Iraq's oil. They're going to have bases there that they can...
Well, it must be a pretty good theory and approach, because Barack Obama stepped in and went to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean,
the only thing, see, the thing is, though, with Afghanistan, though, was a legal war. It was a legal war because
no war is illegal.
This was a legal war because
what law says that it was legal?
Okay, and what it says is that Afghanistan government supported al-Qaeda. They were sponsors of al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda attacked our country. So the Taliban attacked our country.
Right. And then,
so the thing is, by attacking our country, they declared war.
Right.
And so the Afghanistan, but the thing is, I'm not defending Afghanistan war, and now I'm saying that we should be doing a whole lot of different things. We should be helping that country pull itself together, but we do it in the way they want to do it. We want to help them, and we want to get out of there and keep, you know.
And so, if I were to buy that, the Afghanistan is a legal war, and because their people attacked, was part of the support of Al-Qaeda, and and who blew up the towers. Well, why wasn't Iraq a legal war when we had nuclear devices and dirty bombs, and Saddam Hussein was threatened, and he had plutonium. Remember all of that?
That didn't happen, and everybody knew that.
So what my point is, what sources are you drawing from? Is
exactly.
it the same people that told you that Iraq was a horrible place, so that's why we should attack it, and now we're saying this one is a legal war?
The thing is, Iraq, though.
Corporations
and
everybody involved in both.
Everybody knew, exactly.
Halliburton involved in the BP. Halliburton.
And the bases in Afghanistan, if you follow them, they follow along a path for a pipeline that's supposed to come from Turkmenistan and down to Karachi. The point is, those things are there and they're factors.
Right.
But
I'm not taking issue with you, but
I know you're not.
What we need to do is that, see, I think we have hobbled ourselves because the layman, like you and myself, we sit here and many of us want to tell us how about George Bush and the Republicans and how evil they were.
Oh.
And we will never, ever bring in a Democrat and slap them around and say...
No, the Democrats were complicit. I tell you, Social Security is one example.
Right.
For instance, all the Democrats knew that what they were doing was... They, in 83, they made a thing to take care of the boomers. They started building up a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be and build a hump in payouts so that they could pay out when the baby boomers retired. That is all still in place.
Right.
But the only thing is, they didn't tell you that the Democrats and the Republicans have been using those funds, our Social Security funds, with no intention of paying them back.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, instead of raising taxes to do the things they wanted to do, they went off budget, went into secret, and took the money from Social Security and did not tell us So, in other words, at some point, Social Security is going to be in a mess, and it's going to be in a mess because government has got to pay back that money they borrowed to keep spending.
Well, one thing I caution people when we engage in politics and talking about it, I like to remind them, no matter how horrible George Bush was or is, as we've come to learn or describe him as, we have to remember one thing. It is as easy in the stroke of a pen for a Republican to become a Democrat.
Exactly.
In a matter of seconds, milliseconds.
Exactly.
And it is just as easy for a Democrat to cross that aisle, and you don't have to go through too many changes.
Right.
You know, whereas most things, when you go to a new job, you got to suit up for everything and learn the whole vocation over.
Hey, listen.
But a Democrat can become, and so we should always be reminded of that one fact.
As a matter of fact,
and it's the corporation that has gotten them both trained and got us on the air sitting here saying, you know, it's the corporation, but then we go, but the George Bush, no. What has happened, the corporation has gotten in our minds, in our media, in our way of thinking, and we befriend a Democrat, not accepting the fact that tomorrow morning, a staunch Republican can become a Democrat.
Right. As a matter of fact, this is what I said. I quit the Democratic Party in 1992. And it was after a speech that was given by our senior citizen, senior senator, that he was the Prince of Pork. And, you know, this goes right to it. Pork is talking about corruption. It is talking about behind closed door deals and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not. We should be cleaning up our government. It should be squeaky clean. It should be done on the issues, not about hiring your family members and your cronies and stuff like that.
Right.
And this is. And the Democratic convention, the progressives, they all usually write the program, and on the way out, half of those Democrats wad it up and throw it in a trash can on the way out and go down and act like so-called Republicans.
Right. Well, Jim, your show is on, Employees Today is on Sundays, 5 p.m. on Channel 54.
Yes.
Hello, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if one want to reach you, they can call you at 267-0117,
right.
808. And we're definitely going to have to come back because...
Oh, we got so much stuff to talk
but
about.
But it's just sometimes I believe we need to just get it out. And I think part of America's problem is that we've been told by the corporations that you belong to this club, you belong to this club, you belong to that party, you belong to that party.
Right. Exactly.
And by the way, we control all of you, but we don't speak out against it.
But I agree with you. BP should be prosecuted specifically. We get them to be an example, and they'll say, well, how about all these other guys?
Oh, yeah, we should set an example, hang them out like they're doing, to dry. And But, again, BP is high on the list of supplying fuel for the Pentagon.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know.
They're fueling the war, a permanent war.
I hope Obama is able to wade through this.
And this is something people really need to think about. The United States is, in effect, in an arms race with itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they do is they fund these expensive fighter planes and more expensive submarines and whatnot, and then they sell them to their friends, and then their friends sell it to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and then they got to keep on going. It just gets bigger and bigger. Our schools are going down, down, down.
Okay, well, Jim Brewer, thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show. See you next week, and we're going to be talking chicken fights and other things coming in the next couple of weeks. I got a couple of people going to come in, and we're going to be talking, giving an insight, in-depth look at chicken fighting and cock fighting and any other thing. So see you next week, and aloha.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.